faith, walk in his light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are his wonders and grand his ways. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Heaven's obey,
Jesus shall reign. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity, come, let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the victor of Calvary. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Honor the Son,
Jesus has won. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb.
Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever.
Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord.
Worship the Lord, worship the Lord.
Good morning and welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 1, 3, and 4. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth.
Let's pray, remain standing as we pray. Our eternal God, you have called us to be members of one body, the church. God of grace, you have given us minds to know you, hearts to love you, and voices to sing your praise. So fill our choir with the power of your Spirit to sing praises to your name. God our Father, without your word we have nothing to say, and without your Spirit we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word today and let the Spirit show us your way. Lord, be with our missionaries, Fred and Carol Lewis, recovering in Oregon. There is a light of information from the doctors that he's losing the feeding of calcium in his blood. And now, Lord, give the doctors the wisdom to correct that chemical imbalance. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benalmadena, Spain. David and Dennis Rode in Papua, New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Vendano in Guatemala. The South Valley Pregnancy Center in Gilroy. The Athletic Association in San Jose. Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry this week in Florida, presenting the ministry to different car racers. And Martha Varetti in the Drug Rehabilitation Center in Argentina. Father, we are grateful for your hand of mercy upon our life, and personally thank you, Father, for the healing power upon my life. We bring to the throne of grace Mary's Tomlinson mother, now in the hospital, and we are glad to see today Dr. McCormack back to his feet, and we plead for healthy recovery in these people. We are reminded of Loretta Forrest, our charter member, who is in bed for a long time, but her heart is in your hand. And we refresh our life when we visit with her and she shares the security of her salvation. Lord, still we pray for her and for her strength. As you have done Sunday after Sunday, we are thankful for your provision, so we can be preaching and teaching here at Morgan Hill and the internet and the radio and the tape ministry and the CD ministry. So, Father, bless the offering and bless the giver. We pray in the love of God and our Savior Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to John. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 623. We will be reading John chapter 4, verses 1 through 30. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 4, verses 1 through 30. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sense sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or what talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are here to worship you in the Holy Spirit and in truth. We are amazed that we can be indwelt by the Spirit. But as believers, we believe it because your word declares it. We thank you that these great blessings which come to us because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent. We pray that our witness will be as effective as that of the woman in the scripture today when we are witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for your servant now, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you for the improvement in his health. And again, we ask that you would bless him even as we are blessed as he comes to teach from the Bible. We pray for those listening everywhere on the radio and internet and tape and CD. Give us all understanding so that we may apply your word to every area of our lives and experience the joy of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of the scripture. And today we conclude our series of God is Alive in Living Interviews. And John chapter 4 brings the third interview of Jesus. As you remember, Jesus interviewed a religious person. Nathanael was his name. And Nathanael became a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Christ interviewed a theologian, Nicodemus, the Larry King of the Scripture. And he penetrated the mind of Jesus with questions from this world. And Jesus led him to believe. Now we come to a meeting of Jesus and a woman, which I call a dissatisfied woman. She tries everything. As you heard, she had five husbands and never happy. And Jesus trying to bring a conversation with her. And you're going to see marvelous things as we go verse by verse and bring up what really took place. In the history of Jesus and the background, Jesus is traveling. Chapter 4 of John, verse 1 said, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard, that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed unto Galilee." Now, that's a good piece of territory. "And then said, and he must need go through Samaria." That word, "he must need go through Samaria," give you the idea that he can take 101 and he can take Highway 5, all right? But he chose to go on the hard way. If you know the geography, there are two wonderful mountains between then Galilee and Samaria, 2,000 feet high. And Jesus chose. Now remember, they are not driving, they are walking. And Jesus chose himself. He determined himself to go in this hard way. The Bible doesn't say the disciples did not told him, you know, we can take 101 straight and go. The Bible doesn't relate the conversation between the disciples and Jesus, but the Bible tells us that Jesus chose to travel, and he traveled to in that direction, crossing that city of Samaria, which was a no-no for any Jewish people. Was a city that do not welcome Jewish people. Was a city that care less about Jewish people. As you know, the Samaritans' their race was half from Iraq and half from the Jewish people. These are the children. The Samaritans are the children born when Israel was in captivity for 70 years. And so these children were born from a father that maybe was from Iraq and a mother that was from Israel, or vice versa, a father from Israel and a mother from Iraq. So there was a mixed race, and they were at odds with the Jewish people. They arrived to the city of Sychar. Verse 5 said, "Cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar." It's a real valley in that city. And at Sychar, he is interviewed by a Samaritan woman. Look at verse 7 to 9. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink." Now, that's entirely, completely unusual. that a man will talk to a woman in the Asian civilization. And the Bible said in verse 8, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy food. Then said the women of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jew have no dealings with the Samaritans. In other words, here it is. Here is an enemy of the nation. They have no conversation whatsoever. They have no dealings whatsoever. And you are asking me to do a favor to you. That's how the interview really started. Now let's see how Jesus deals with these women who have a hard life. With these women that everybody knows, she was disappointed, dissatisfied, a woman who have really walked the wrong way. Let's see how Jesus deals with that. The first thing I notice in the reading is that her recognition about Christ. Her recognition about Christ. Now, for your information, when I mention the word Christ, that's a Greek word, Christos. And that Greek word, Christos, is the translation of the Hebrew word, Messiah. So each time you read Christ, you better read Messiah. And that rings to you the hope of Israel. So her recognition about the Messiah. Every Israelite was looking for the Messiah. And so the Samaritans. Because even though they were mixed with the Iraq people, they hold the religion of the Jewish people. And they were looking for the Messiah. Now I want you to know what I want you to see what the women really asked Jesus in the dialogue, and you will know there's something wonderful here. Number one, verse 9 and 10, she recognized Christ as more than a Jew. Verse 9, then said the women of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he will have give thee living water. So she knows that this Jew fellow is different than anybody else. This person is an entire different person than the common Jewish people. Verse 11 and 12 tell me that she recognized Christ as greater than a religious person. Look at verse 11. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? That tells you something. These women have been in Sunday school. These women have been in a home where daddy and mommy have read the scripture and have read the Old Testament well. When you say to a Jewish person, who are your fathers? He will say, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. These are our fathers and are our fathers in the faith. And these women, when Jesus is trying to bring some spiritual hints in the conversation, she brings whatever she learned, even though it's a woman way off in her life, even though it's a woman way off in her behavior, even though it's a woman who had not lived accordingly to her knowledge never went away. What an encouragement for parents. What an encouragement for grandparents. When you read the scripture to your children, will never go away. Will never go away. God, in a mysterious way, kept that in the RAM of your head. And only 1 gigabyte, God gave you 100 gigabyte RAM, so they are there. And when somebody brings that attention, it is a miracle that these women will say in verse 12, Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his son and his cattle? He knows, she knows very, very well Genesis 27 to 37. She is describing the moment when Jacob was a man of conquering land and making wells which give water and fertilize the area. Amazing. She recognized that Jesus is saying, I'm greater than your fathers. Verse 13 to 19, she recognized Christ as more than a prophet. Look, I'll read it for you. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. If you drink from the well, you will have thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Then the women said unto him, Sir, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. She's still thinking mentally as something physical. He said, well, you got that water? I don't need to come here. I don't need to come to the valley and get the water anymore. That's great. Verse 17, the woman answered, excuse me, verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come here. See, some inconvenience Jesus put in our way to discover ourselves. Will it be not so easy for Jesus to explain the gospel to her? But Jesus put a negative statement. Jesus put something that brings her lifestyle back to the present. And Jesus said, call your husband, please. He knew that she was a wreck in her life. And Jesus brought that back. And the women answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus praised her. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For have five husbands. And he whom now has is not a husband. That saidest thou truly. In other words, you are living with somebody, you are sucking with somebody now, and you have these four or five husbands. You're really a true person. That encouraged the women to relax. Verse 19, the women said unto him, Sir, now she is switching her mind from a physical understanding, from a psychological counsel, to a spiritual counsel. Look at what she said. Say, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, a prophet is revealing to mankind, is speaking on behalf of God to mankind. A priest is speaking on behalf of man to God. But a prophet is speaking from God to man. And because She knew that nobody can know this guy. I never met this guy. I never have a conversation with this man. And he's telling me about all my life. Man, he has to be a prophet. See, her background, the years that the parents spent with her in reading the scripture, her background is not gone. She knew that somebody will tell you exactly what it is at that particular time. There had to be a prophet. She recognized Christ as the Messiah in verse 20 to 26. Look at this. Our fathers, look at what she knew about the scripture. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She's trying to start a spiritual controversial dialogue. We Samaritans don't care about Jerusalem. We care about Sychar and Olar, the mountain across. That's where we worship the Lord. And you are saying in Jerusalem? And Jesus said unto her in verse 21, Women, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. We know that the Messiah comes from the Jewish nation. But the hour cometh, And now is Jesus. When the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then Jesus clarified, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, who is called Christ. See, he gave to Jesus the Greek name. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am him. She recognized, she knew how to wait for the Lord, and she recognized that Christ is the Messiah. She knew, I'm surprised, she knew about God's plan. Once she talked to Christ, once she listened to Christ carefully, she knew that this is not just a person. And her impression was, here is a man who has to be the Messiah of Israel. And so my first question to you is this: what is your impression of Christ? All depends on your background, you see. If you never have from childhood a background or reading the scripture in the Sunday school and so on, Christ Jesus is something that Christianity believe, like a Buddha or like Mohammed. But if you have a background on the scripture, you will recognize that the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah that will save their heart, not the nation, their heart. What is your impression about Christ? You have to face that question. What do I believe about Christ? Who is Christ to me? These women face it. And she brought back her background, and now they put the two and two together. Is that this person is the Messiah. Now, let's see her request to Christ. See, recognition leads to request. Look at verse 15. The woman said unto him, unto him, sir, give me this water. Recognition leads to request. What I see in Christ determines what I ask of him. And let me show you in the scripture. Because I got in the church the phone that rings all the time, people asking for things to do. Let me show you that what you know about Christ is what makes you to ask about Christ. For example, if you turn your Bible to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10. Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verse 47 to 52. We're talking about Bartimaeus. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, son of David for the Hebrew means you are the Messiah. I understand that. Verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy of me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he called thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. He knew that the Messiah has supernatural power. And so he requests a supernatural action upon his life. He did not limit Jesus to what he can see and touch and understand. He believed that Jesus has the power, and he asked it. Well, let's go to, you are in Mark 10. Let's go to Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40 to 43. Here is a man with leprosy. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, he say unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was clean. Here's a man who knew what Jesus can do. There's a man who knew what Jesus can do. And then he asked Jesus according to his knowledge. Let's go to John Gospel, the chapter 6. Verse, here's the disciple. Surprisingly, after a while, the disciple start knowing what Jesus is. And in chapter 6, verse 32 to 34, look at what the request was. Chapter 6, verse 32 to 34. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us that bread. When they understood that Jesus is the bread of life, they requested. So here you have these women. Her recognition about Christ was beyond, was sharp, was perfect because of her background. She can recognize that he is indeed the Messiah. Then she makes a request to Jesus. What is your request to Christ? What is your request to Christ? Some people call and said, Sir, I have no provision, and you can pray that God give me food. And other people, healing. You are sick. The easiest way to pray is when you are sick. You are trembling. Some people pray for success, thinking that if I got this or I got the other, I got satisfaction. But when you know Christ, you pray for a spiritual satisfaction. God, if you're a Christian, you can pray, make me a mature Christian. Without God, we cannot become mature. If you are unsaved, you can say, God, I don't understand a bit of anything. But you can touch my life and make me well so that I can understand you. See, people think on Christ on a physical matters, and Christ is dealing with the spiritual matters. It's sure that as Christians, as children of God, we can ask God in the name of Christ for the things that we need. But the need that we need most is to understand what God really is. God is a Father in heaven that either will judge you to hell or will save you to his presence. There is no alternative. And there is no religion that can put the two together except Christ Jesus, the Messiah. And these women, as far as she was a real, I will not say prostitute, but in a kind of life like that, she had the background, even though she went off in life, she was quick enough to realize, oh boy, this is what they taught me. Her request to Christ is, give me life. Will you humble yourself? Will you humble yourself? Because that's very humbling. Will you humble yourself and say, Lord, in spite of I'm a brilliant person, give me life because I cannot get it unless you give it to me. In spite of I'm an American, rich and powerful, Lord, give me life because I don't have it. Not only I see the recognition about Christ and her request to Christ, but her response regarding Christ. Look at verse 29. You're in John 4. Go to verse 29. She goes into the city. She goes into the city. And she expressed a spiritual understanding. Look at here. Verse 29. Come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Messiah? He goes to his people of his town in Samaria, which were waiting for the Messiah, and said, now here is the fulfillment of a scripture. Here is the man who told me everything I ever did. Come, is this not the Messiah? See, faith just opens the soul, and the Holy Spirit does the rest, my friend. Go with me to Romans 10, 17. Please, you know the scripture, but I want you to show this. If you have no faith, don't panic. Go to Romans 10, 17, and God tells you how the faith is produced in the hearts of people. Doesn't depend on your education. Doesn't depend on your background. Doesn't depend on your nationality. Look at Romans 10, 17. Look at what the scripture really says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is not a product of your college. Faith is not a product of your background. Your parents were very smart, and now you're smart and have faith. Faith depends on what you do with the scripture. And if you read the scripture, even though you don't understand it, don't panic. Later on, you will understand it. Read the scripture. If you read the scripture, God is able to put faith. And then you can say, and how am I going to believe? Remember what I said? God give you faith, and then God, the Holy Spirit, does the rest. Look at here, John chapter 16, please. John chapter 16. Look at what God does. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Jesus is going to tell the disciples that he will go away. And he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, that is the word for the Holy Spirit. Put one hand over there, and if you go to John 14, in verse 26, the Bible tells you who is the Comforter. The Bible said in John 14, 26, by the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. You see it? So you can substitute the word Comforter for Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I'm reading John 17, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, in other words, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. For what? Verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world, or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not in me. And so, I cannot make you to believe in Christ. I can only show you the way. That's my obligation. To show you the way. That there is no other. It is Christ. And so, a spiritual understanding comes by reading the scripture, and the Holy Spirit of God opens your brains and your mind and the real soul of yours to believe it. She shows a spiritual understanding. She shows a spiritual maturity. Go back to John 4, verse 28. Look at what happened. The woman then left her water pot. Even she forgot about the water that she took. She left the water pot, said the Bible right there, and went her way into the city and said unto the men. I'm very sure some of these men knew her. And she said unto her, she went after she really clicked with the truth. She cannot hold it anymore. And she went to do what? To witness about Jesus. If you go to the book of Acts in chapter 1 and in verse 8, you find that that's what God wants us to do. Acts 1, he said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, after you God give you the faith, and then the Holy Spirit give you conviction, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, your city, Judea, the neighborhood, Samaria, the enemy, and the uttermost part of the earth. You should be my witness. That's what we need to do. That's what we broadcast over the internet. That's what we broadcast over radio. That's what we made the cassettes and the CDs and so on. But God wants you to carry a tract in your pocket, and as soon as you have the opportunity, just to share it with a smile to somebody. So in this city and in the city of San Martin and the city of Gilroy, people get to know the Lord. Witnessing. If you're excited about the gospel, you witness. You cannot hold it. That's what these women did. Spiritual understanding, spiritual maturity. And then verse 39 in John 4 give you a spiritual credibility. Look at what happened in that town. And many of the Samaritans of that city, city of Sychar, believe on him for the saying of the women who testify, he told me all that ever did. Let me ask you, Church of God, have you told others what Christ did for you? Christ gave us peace, gave us self-control, gave us love, give us compassion, tenderness. Have you ever told people that your psychiatrist is Jesus Christ? I have in radio interviewed people who were in stress, and I never did that for insurance purposes, but in case I knew some people and they came to visit with me. And the first thing they share is the name of this famous psychiatrist to help them. But they are in my office for help. Free of charge. The best psychiatrist you can have is Jesus Christ. Have you told people what Christ did for you? Let me tell you this. As I read John 4, I understood that Jesus broke down various barriers to reach these women. The first was the barrier of distance. And verse 4 said that he must go through Samaria. Why, Jesus? Why you go to Samaria? Well, if you read the Bible, you would know that Jesus knows what is ahead. And he knew that a woman will come over there and he will deal. And in God's mysterious sovereign plan, God will save that woman that day. And Jesus went in that way. When something happened to us, that we have a plan and the plan is broken and we have to go the other way, don't panic. God has a plan for you to go his way and not the way you plan it. Happened many times in my life. Losing a plane, wanting to reach a place, sit in another plane and have a conversation with somebody about Christ. Amazing. Jesus break down the barrier of distance. Doesn't matter what it is. I go. The second was the sex barrier. In chapter 4 and in verse 9, the women of Samaria said unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me to drink? A male do not talk to a female in all the areas of Arabia at all. You're looking for the cut in your head. You don't talk to somebody's wife. You talk to the husband, and the husband tell her in home. The women are preserved there on the tent. You don't talk to a woman. And Jesus brought that barrier. The third barrier was the religious and racial barrier. Let me show you something. What happened to the Samaritans? Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 29. And then let's see how the Samaritans were. 2 Kings chapter 17 verse 29. Howbeit, every nation make gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places, which the Samaritans have made every nation in their cities in which they dwell. The Samaritans, yes, they were looking for God, but they added to the gospel, and they have high places and different things and so on. It's like the people who are Christians and said, well, we're Christians, but you add to your life the garbage of this world. That's what the Samaritans did. Yes, they knew tremendously. They knew theology left and right. You can see these women. She knew the prophecies of Deuteronomy, that the Messiah will come and speak the truth ahead of time. But then your life is a hell. That's exactly what the Samaritans did. They were good business people. Iraqis are good business people. Watch out with Ramil. I tell you. It is good. And they build these caves with worship and charge and build the other one in charge. They care less what they did. Yes, we wait for the Messiah, but just in the head, no, in the heart. Jesus cut that barrier and reach the women. So I tell you, anybody can be saved with God saved. Anybody. Here's the $4 million question for you. Has Jesus broke down your barrier? We all have barriers. I remember, never forgot, 1979, a truck driver right in the border between Mexico and California. We were passing tracks with students. And he said, "Sir, I'm an American." I was shocked. He said, "I'm an American." I looked at my tracks. He said, "Are you an American?" He said, "I'm an American. I don't need God." 79. 2005, as I read the paper, looks like America doesn't need God. Everybody is acting independently. They take God away from every place. From every place. Don't need God. Don't need God. What is your answer? Has Jesus broke your barrier? I met a professor of Hebrew who, after he taught me so well, he was not a believer. And I said, "Have you ever found Jesus?" I said, "I don't read those things about Jesus. I only read Esther in the Bible, who talks about no God and nobody." See, people have barriers. I'm an American, I'm a Jew, I'm an Argentina, I'm whatever. I have barriers, I'm busy. These are barriers. My friend, God can break that barrier and reach you. That's why you are here today. That's why you are listening today. God. That's what I'm preaching. Because God can break the barriers and reach through. May God save you today. In Jesus we pray. Father, bless those who are there listening, that they may understand that whatever had been taught to them when they were little have the mighty purpose of come to the knowledge of Christ. Lord, you command us to preach, to proclaim, and you will do the rest. I pray with all my heart for mercy on your part so that many will know who Jesus is. And I pray for mercy on our life. We have neglected the witnessing power. These women challenge all of us to witness and witness about Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.
Sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But through the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now and now my soul is at its satisfied, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply! How sweet the living water from the hills of God! It makes me glad and happy all the way. Blessing mark the path I trod, I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now and on, my soul is satisfied. I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Mm-hmm. sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water.